We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Little Foo Fighters. Got to wait for the drum roll of the Foo Fighters in honor of Taylor Hawkins, who the drummer for Foo Fighters, who died last year. Anyway, just a moment there. Just letting you know.
It's good stuff.
It's good stuff. By the way, speaking of good stuff, text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Some of y'all are already texting. We were just talking during the break. This is a dicey topic. I decided to try to thread the needle best I could. I really do not believe that we are headed towards civil war in the sense.
Yeah.
Are we a polarized nation politically? I think in a lot of ways we are, absolutely. I think part of it is cultural. Politics flows down from culture. But at the same time, what I am concerned about is that someone somewhere is going to do something stupid, either A, because they're just stupid, or B, because they're calculating and they're trying to set up the other side to look stupid. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, I think you've got to be overly cautious that you're baited into doing something, you know. I mean, it's definitely it's a tough time, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, the last thing you want to see is some bubba going down there thinking he's going to help out on the border, and he brings his guns, and next thing you know, we got a problem. So stupid needs to just, you know, stay in its box. But I do believe that we are in a position right now where you're going to see a whole lot more of what I would call standoffs. You're going to see, like, this thing on the Texas border. You're going to see, folks leaving school zones or school districts because of what they're allowing to happen. Yeah. You're gonna see those kind of standoffs more and more, people taking deliberate but calculated and smart action. And also, I think you're going to see politicians beginning to face primaries more and more because they won't do something to help. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've already got the mass evacuation from California and all these folks, you know.
Look at the U-Haul report.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's just a soft, you know, a soft symptom. And yeah, I mean, if it's just crazy. Like, how do you, you know, we'll see how long the administration and that they let this go on down at the border. You know, I just don't. I'm really trying to wrap my head around what's the argument. What is their argument to how are they justifying this thought process?
The administration?
Yeah, the administration.
I don't know that I've heard them justify anything. Yeah. It's like they just get up there and go, well, the border's secure. The border's secure.
I mean, what?
Well, it's not secure. We wouldn't have Texas National Guard out there putting up wire if it was secure.
Yeah. I mean, their own Border Patrol wouldn't be talking about 300,000 plus people a month coming across the border.
I mean, you had 300,000 come across in 1 month several years ago under the Trump administration. That was like the annual count at best.
I'm trying. I truly try in all of this to try, okay, what am I missing? What do I need to? And it's bonkers. I mean, I don't want to just, I don't know. It's tough. It's going to take a lot of people doing a lot of thinking, and you know, which gets down to what you're saying. Don't do something stupid.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, it's going to take a lot of people getting up off the couch and going and getting involved in something to try and make a difference.
Didn't even get a text message.
I didn't read a single text message. All right, we'll get them when we come back. Text messages, 833-687-4448. Text it or call it. I'll take your thoughts. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, this one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like, whew, way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi all thrown in, just for good measure. I have to take some text messages now because a few came in that I just need to stay caught up there, bro. So I'm gonna, you know, today that's one of the things about not having guests is I can flex my time, take my time, savor the moments, sip my coffee, talk all I want to. Anyway, you get the picture.
Yeah, well, okay. we'll
caffeine's kicking in, by the way.
It's gonna be that's good. That's good. I don't know about you guys out there, but I think Phil and I are both well. We're dragging through Friday to make it to the end, right. But the end is near.
I told Charlene earlier. I texted her right before the show, and I said something about I lost my faux pony. FAUX faux. I lost my faux pony. She goes, "What's a faux pony?" I said, "The imaginary horse that kept me galloping all day. It went away. It was a faux pony."
All right.
Scott from Athens says, "The World in Peril" by Ken White. It's a book. Apparently, I've not heard of that one. I'll check that out. He said it's a rare, low-volume published book that's expensive. Wow, okay. You can find the PDF or the audiobook. He said Colonel White, that's Ken White, I guess, after World War II was sent to Alaska to figure out how to navigate with grid and constellation. His son helped write the book after it was declassified. The guy lived a life. The things they discovered are amazing. Well, thank you for sharing all that. I appreciate it. It's an amazing story, he says. I thought it was going to get to a point that I was talking about, but I guess he's just letting me know. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, Scott. Raven from Russellville. He says, getting hot in old Texas, Colonel. Yippee-ki-yay. And then he says, instead of shooting at federal and state troops, how about just shooting at cartels and illegal invaders from over 100 countries? Just a thought. That is something that I could see coming at some point because we do get shot at by cartels.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of those.
It's one of those. Jeff from Indiana. Says, Phil, I think the United States is even more divided now than it was during the time of the Civil War. The difference is that people back then took action against what they perceived as an over-controlling federal government. A good example is what the forefathers did at the Boston Tea Party over a very low tax. Yes, and I agree. And I think right now, though, we are not at that place. And I'm praying we never get to that place again.
Yeah, and we were talking, you know, talking about that before the show. I think it's really kind of hard to tell. I've thought about a lot that the last few years. What was it like in the 1850s and 1860s? What was the atmosphere like? And it's hard. I think it's hard to compare. I mean, as much as we complain about our school systems and all that kind of stuff, we've got a much more educated populace than you had back then. So,
and we got the flash of communication is so much greater.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have. Like, if you ever been down to Baldwin County, there's a park down there called Blakely State Park. It's allegedly where the very last battle of the Civil War was fought. I used to take kids out there all the time. You can still find some of the breastworks off in the woods. I say all that because they fought, I want to say, the Battle of Blakely occurred 4 days after the surrender at Appomattox Courthouse. And nowadays, it's real time. Somebody
yeah.
posts it on social media, everybody knows it.
Yeah. But you know, I got the sentiment, Jeff. That's an interesting... Yeah.
Mike from Coxey, Alabama says, I hear you guys talking about being careful because we may be set up to do something that would be counterproductive. Do you think there was some amount of being set up that was responsible for January 6th? Friggin' yeah. Yes, I do. I absolutely do. I think we're going to find out one day that even if it wasn't a pure setup, at the very least, there were members of the crowd who were there as, you know, FBI plants and others who could have tried to prevent it, but who went along for reasons we can't even figure out. Like, why were they even there? What was the point? And how many of them embedded themselves in the BLM riots, I'd like to know.
Yeah.
But I do believe that there was some setup going on.
I think that, to your point about you can't do something stupid, and you got to think for yourself and not just follow a crowd.
Yeah, and by the way, but I was trying to portray in my monologue is... That is not being stupid is not a call to be idle. All right. There's
absolutely.
A difference.
Absolutely.
You can absolutely be busy, and we should. And Governor Abbott is a perfect example. Now he's got an executive level position of one of the, you know, the biggest economies and state governments in the world. But doesn't mean that, you know, moms and pops and the average Joe and Jane on the street can't have their moment, their place, their sphere of influence. Everybody does. Do something. Just don't make it stupid. John from Huntsville says, I like this. Well, first of all, he says, Phil, awesome monologue. Also just wanted to say that Alabama is officially the first state to use nitrogen epoxy. Yes, we are. To execute a death row inmate, and the liberal news stations are freaking out. Yeah, it's something to watch, man. They are having a complete meltdown. But then he says, Phil, where's Walker, Texas Ranger, and Rambo when you need them? Because they could put an end to this Texas border madness in a heartbeat.
Amen.
Walker, Texas Ranger, and Rambo would be quite, you know what? Actually, if you go watch, what's the movies that Sly Stallone's have been making with all the action stars get together for one? I just, dadgummit, I keep wanting to call them the Untouchables, and that's not it.
I'll look it up at the break.
We got to find it because they're on like movie four, but they did have one where they had Chuck Norris and Sly Stallone in the same movie. Why can I not think of that? The caffeine hadn't fully kicked in yet. Expendables. I got it first.
And you got it without help.
Frank from Huntsville says, these so-called sanctuary cities don't want to take 200 or 300 to get bust in, but they won't let Texas take all 400,000 a month. You're right. Nani from Beverly Hills, Florida. Love that. How you doing, Nani? Nani from Beverly Hills, Florida says, an easy start would be to legislate an opt-in policy instead of opt-out. This would make schools and other agencies more responsible to informing parents of all their plans. Okay. Yes. Wiley from Gunnersville said, I didn't see Alabama on that list of states. Yes, it is. That changed. That was, we were one of the first ones. We were in the first 10, I believe, yesterday. So, yeah, Wiley, Governor Ivey issued her statement on social media yesterday around 10 a.m. So there you go. All right, let me jump in here. So Dipper number one, live free or die. It's a good thing we have the Second Amendment, right? And I'm not saying that tongue in cheek. It's a good thing we have the Second Amendment because the libs keep doing everything they can to dismantle your right to bear arms. Remember, it's an actual right. It is not a privilege. It is not a opportunity. It is not a may. It's a shall. And so it's a right. Not everybody in the Western world has that right. Let me tell you some things that are happening in and around and among us, our allies, people that we look at and go, they're like us, right? How about this one? The United Kingdom is facing something that we put a stop to under the Obama administration. So back when Obama was in office 10 years ago, he put in place something that became known as Operation Choke Point. Operation Choke Point was designated to do what they called dealing with reputational risk. What the heck is that? It was the early days of ESG, environmental, social, and governance scores, right? It was basically getting gun manufacturers and gun retailers debanked. So by using the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the Obama administration put out merchant categories associated with what they called high-risk activity. It was reputational risk. Since there are guns involved, there is a great risk. Therefore, you bankers need to understand that might be something you don't want to do banking with. And suddenly, gun retailers, you know, mom-and-pop gun shops, ammunition manufacturers, shooting clubs were finding themselves in need of a new bank. Well, the Trump administration came in, and in 2018, first year he was in office, he put a stop to it. Operation Choke Point went away. Not everybody's so lucky. In the United Kingdom right now, they are dealing with it in a big way. So according to reports from over there across the pond, shooting clubs, gun shops, other businesses and organizations in the United Kingdom have been targeted with what they are referring to as debanking. Sudden unexplained account closures, refusals for new applications, difficulties with online payments, the use of card machines and applying for credit being allegedly curtailed because words like gun or firearm or shoot or a shooting appears in the paperwork. This is absolutely a backdoor attempt to curtail firearm rights. In the United Kingdom, they don't have a Second Amendment. They can have laws and regulations, but they are purely legislative. They are not constitutionally mandated. So, like one particular one called the Mill Farm Clay Pigeon Club said they got debanked. They were made, quote, to feel like criminals, and the whole experience of being shut down like that, followed by having to find another bank, was something we never want to go through again. They had one supplier that gave them 6 months worth of credit while they had to go through all kinds of banking applications to find a new bank. Y'all, I'm telling you, live free or die. That Second Amendment, do not take it for granted. And I know who I'm talking to. I know I got an audience full of right-side ruffians, gun-toting right-side ruffians, Second Amendment, live free or die kind of people. And I get, and I know who my audience is. But I'm just saying, think about it in terms of the value of what we actually have. There's one. I mean, we have the freedom of speech. We have the right to due process. We have the right of assembly. We have so many rights that in other nations, they literally don't have. Canada right now is facing things. Well, let's talk about Canada. Hang on a second. Let me pull up the next article in line. How about this one? Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau's assault weapons ban and confiscation program. Wow. He's not even playing. It's just called a assault weapons ban and confiscation program. The Liberal government under Trudeau has previously shared little information about the anticipated costs or the timings or the mechanics of how they intend to fully enforce this. But as recently as last July, the Firearms Buyback Program overview page at the Public Safety Canada website indicated they have 24 full-time employees with an operating budget of $5.4 million. And they are working right now to basically seize firearms in Canada. Buy them back. That's all they're doing. They're just buying them back. It's like eminent domain. You didn't need that land. We did. So let me give you some fair market value. Well, that's called a backdoor way to curtail gun rights. I'm just telling you, folks, be glad you have the Second Amendment, because I'm about to jump back into our side of things and tell you why the Second Amendment is still protecting you, still, as they do everything they can to come at you from left, right, center, and behind to do away with your Second Amendment rights. Live free or die. Y'all stay tuned. We're going to take a break right now. We will come right back and dive right in. You're going to be amazed at some of the things. Then again, maybe you won't. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just making common sense like a superpower. All right, text lines are open. You want to text it or call it 833-687-4448. I know I got some Second Amendment defender folks out there, so tell me your thoughts. But so I gave you a tad of what's happening in the United Kingdom. I gave you a tad of what's happening in Canada. How about Australia? I mean, these are the nations that When I picture, like, all right, who else in the world's kind of like us? You know, like who, if we were like side by side somewhere, you wouldn't be able to tell us apart, really. I mean, on certain things, you certainly can. But yeah, I always picture like the Canadians and the Brits and the Aussies and New Zealanders. I just picture them as like being one of us, if you know what I mean. And then you find out things like this. Here's one that came out October of last year. Just a reminder, by the way, of how bad it's gotten in Australia when it comes to personal liberties like firearm gun ownership. So Vice President Kamala Harris was giving a speech in the wake of one of the mass shootings, Lewiston, Maine, in this case. And you know how they do. Every time there's a shooting incident, it's always about the guns, not about the criminal. But she goes straight to it. She says, "Let us be clear. It does not have to be this way, as our friends in Australia have demonstrated." What is she citing there as a wonderful example? Australia, which, by the way, in the 90s began mass gun confiscation. You now have to have every firearm of any kind individually licensed with a justification for why you own said firearm. We're talking about the continent upon which virtually everything is trying to kill you at all times. What did you say during the break, Butters? You said this is the this is the country that was founded by a bunch of criminals.
Yeah, it really is kind of it really is kind colony. Of shocking. Yeah, like how
rough and ready.
Maybe they've got a bunch of shivs or something. I don't know what.
I don't know. That's not a knife. This is a knife. Yeah. I'm looking for Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah, he's.
All right, but
that's why he moved to New York.
Yeah, no kidding. In addition, Australian law. Back up. The story I got here from Fox News. She made that quote, loving the idea of Australia's gun confiscation. And it points out here, there is no legal right to gun ownership now in Australia, in contrast to the position of the United States. In addition, it says Australian law requires individuals to prove they have a genuine reason for even owning a firearm. Self-protection is not considered to be a genuine reason. Further, the nation's laws mandate that individuals who purchase firearms must have a license, and each firearm they own must be individually registered. Australia's crackdown on firearm ownership came in 1996 following a spate of widely publicized mass shootings. The so-called 1996 National Firearms Agreement banned automatic, semi-automatic, and then introduced firearm registration, and then established stricter storage requirements, and then tightly restricted non-military-style semi-automatics, and then shotguns. I mean, basically what they did is they went down the line, and if it went bang, they went ahead and either confiscated it or over-regulated it. Folks, you have the Second Amendment. You have the Second Amendment. Now, they will do all they can to find new ways to push and to push and to push. And so I've got some newness for you. How much time we got for the break? We got a couple minutes, right? This is going to lap over to the top of the hour, but I'll just tell you this. So here's the latest one. Story on townhall.com, Dateline yesterday. So fast forward now to the good old USA. On Thursday, that would be yesterday Thursday, the Thursday we just had, the White House announced that Biden would use executive action to further restrict law-abiding American citizens' right to the Second Amendment. However, this time, the president's actions is going to be designed to take action against gun storage. So, Biden's executive action will quote, promote safe storage of firearms that implement President Biden's executive order on promoting safe gun storage. It's a 14-page document. It outlines how gun owners can store their weapons to prevent children or others in the home from accessing them. The White House claims that safe storage of firearms can reduce school shootings, youth suicides, unintentional shootings, theft of firearms. Okay. You think, okay, how are they going to enforce this? Well, the Biden Department of Justice is expected to release guidelines in a nationwide letter to school principals, meaning they're passing it down through the government systems, which includes your kids. How are they going to enforce this? They may not enforce it, but what could it bring about? Civil liabilities for negligence because you knew better because there was an executive order which gave you knowledge that you should have abided by.
What are they going to ask our kids to tell on us? Is that what they're going to try and do?
You know what? I hadn't thought of it that way. Dang, Butters.
I'm sorry.
Says, in the past, Biden has said he wants to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines and also require background checks. He's also said he's eager to take on the National Rifle Association. Well, all I know is this. If they can find a way to come at you, they will. And, oh, by the way, the brand new design here is to have the DOJ release guidelines about how you should store your weapons.
What?
That's also, by the way, an unfunded mandate. Because if they're going to say you have to store them with gun locks and or safes, the implication there then is you have to have a gun lock and or a safe. And if you don't, then in some way you could be in violation. State legislatures are going to grab hold of this and make something of it. It's going to be adopted by liberal states like Washington and New York. You watch. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More on this. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper, live free or die, man. Live free or die. So the efforts to curtail your Second Amendment rights are nonstop. Like, I'm pretty sure they just lay in bed at night thinking up new ways. Here's one for you. Fresh off the press, January 25th. That'd be what? Yesterday. Fox News has a story. The GOP attorney generals are taking aim at the Democrats' plea for Biden to shut down a critical ammunition manufacturer. If they can't get to your gun, they'll get to your bullets. So here's what they're doing. It says every Republican attorney general in the country, every single one of them, which is like 26, I believe, signed on to a letter blasting Democrats for attempting to shutter a very critical ammunition manufacturer in Missouri. This particular manufacturers, I want to say 5.56, which is for AR-15s, style rifles, the M4. 5.56 and 9mm. Those are both the two standard calibers that are used most often by the U.S. military. In a letter obtained exclusively by Fox News Digital, all 28 GOP attorneys general asked President Biden and the White House Office of Gun Violence Prevention Director, Stephanie Feldman, didn't know we had one of those, to put an end to the efforts by Democrats to close down Lake City Army Ammunition Plant. Pray tell, why would they stop a manufacturer who is one of the major manufacturers for the rounds that our military uses?
Are they? Do they actually have government contracts? Is that addressed?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Major, so they actually are made. They're not just making ammo.
Oh, no.
For the rest of us.
They are.
Gotcha.
They are both a civilian and military spec manufacturer. Now, mil-spec ammo is really not any more lethal than civilian ammo. There are some means by which it becomes more accurate. It's milled slightly differently. It has a less opportunity to foul the weapon. Mm-hmm. But the Dems are upset because they believe that some of the military ammo got out into the civilian market, and that can't happen. That's military ammo. That's dangerous. That's more dangerous. That causes all kinds of more damage. That kills people better. And so now they're trying to shut down the entire plant.
Once again, demonstrating their lack of understanding of ammunition.
Oh my gosh! It just boggles the mind. By the way, it's also 500 to 700 jobs. It's a major economic supplier to the community of Lake City, and it's something that the Department of Defense absolutely needs in a world that is no longer is never stable, for that matter.
So I'll be honest, I didn't even realize there was really a difference in the mil-spec ammo versus. I mean, obviously, I get that there would be specific lines of ammo that they're making for, but I mean. I didn't know that there was that.
There's some difference in the, like, for instance, in the 5.56 ammo for the M4. Civilians more often use 223, although you can use 5.56 in some, how you're chambered. But then there's a difference in the way the primers are set. Okay. And I think that the casing is considered more secure for hazardous environments. And there's something about the way the neck of the round is made, which gives it a little bit better on the rifling, and I don't think there's anything different on the grain of the powder, but
well, the ridiculous thing is just buy a bigger caliber if you want to do more damage.
Well, let's talk about that. How about this? I'll tell you what, I'm going to get into that in a minute because I've got one on that very issue. While I'm just talking about other ways they're curtailing, how about this one? I mentioned a minute ago that the Biden administration has issued an executive order and is sending out their good ideas through the Department of Justice, which will be passed down to the kids in the schools about gun storage. Pray tell, what are they doing out in Washington State? Oh, look. They're going to take hold of that and go, you know what? That's a really good idea. We need to pass a bill about gun storage. And they are. So grab that executive order and make it your own. Washington State legislators introducing a series of bills, story came out 2 days ago, that could transform the landscape of gun ownership and regulation in the state of Washington. They got one bill. I got a series of them. You ready?
Okay.
One bill will introduce a permit requirement for prospective gun owners. In other words, you're thinking about getting a gun. First, you got to get a license. Then you can get a gun. Okay. That's not going to stand up to constitutional, you know, scrutiny, I guarantee you. Then they got another one that proposes a limitation on the number of guns you can buy per month. Okay. So basically, you can step across the line to, I don't know, let's say Idaho, and you can fill your trunk of your car with as many firearms as you please and drive back across the line. But if you buy it in the state of Washington, no, it's one per month, and you must have justification to go otherwise. It will help curb the stockpiling of weapons. What a stupid notion. Okay. Because that's going to produce crime.
I don't think people coming up with those ideas have been to eastern Washington. For those of y'all that aren't familiar with Washington, east of the mountains, like it's farms and rural. I mean, it's a lot like northern California.
And by the
like
way, when have you seen like mass crime related to the stockpiling of weapons? Have you?
No.
Most mass shooters walk in with one, maybe two, right? I mean,
so is that's on top of the Seattle tax?
Oh yeah, what'd you
on
find
ammo?
In Seattle on that?
So,
what was
so
it?
It's
in Seattle.
So it's $25 per firearm
tax
for .22 caliber and less. It's 2 cents per round.
2 cent tax per round.
Above all other ammunition, 5 cents per round. So whatever you're paying, tack on 5 cents per round.
So if I buy a box of 20. Say I buy a box of 20 rounds of, let's go 5.56 again. Box of 20 rounds, 5.56, that's obviously above a 22. It's 5 cents per round.
You're adding
$1 more per box.
Yep.
And $25 for the firearm.
And that's just in Seattle.
So if I buy a case, like if I buy 500, do the math for me real quick. If I buy 500 rounds in a case of 5.56 at 5 cents each, I have just paid another, what, $25? How much am I paying tax there on that?
$25.
I did that in my head?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't do math in public.
That's obnoxious. And that why has that not been challenged in court? All right, here's the next one they've got in Washington State, by the way. Guidelines to cover a range of safety measures to include storage.
Okay.
Secure storage and handling of firearms will be legislated. You're not safe enough. We're going to make you safer. We're going to protect you from yourselves. That's what we do because we're the government and we're here to help. How about this one? Another bill that requires gun owners to report their lost or stolen firearms within 24 hours. What if you don't know? What if you come home from vacation and you didn't realize that someone had pilfered something and a month later you realize something's missing? You have no idea when it was gone. Are you in trouble because you didn't report? Unenforceable. How about this one? It also entrusts the Washington State Patrol with the responsibility of destroying guns that have been seized or forfeited. So basically, they're gonna be crushing them and destroying them. And
so I can't help but reinforce what I seem to always scream when we go through some of this stuff: local, local, local.
Your politicians.
Who's going to really matter when this stuff comes down?
Yes.
Who's appointing your local police departments? Who's your local sheriff?
Who's your mayor?
Who's your mayor?
Yeah.
That's the stock, you know.
If they can be elected at any level, then you can make a change eventually. How about this? In Illinois, this is all brand new. This came out a couple weeks ago. It's a summary of all the new laws taking effect in 2024. I have page upon page of highlighted documentation. Are you ready? How about this? You'll be glad to know that in Illinois, you'll have trouble getting hold of 50 caliber weapons and grenade launchers. Now, a Barrett 50 caliber rifle is pretty cool, and I have a friend that has one. But when's the last time you saw a mass shooting or a liquor store robbery with a 50 cal? I don't seem to recall.
I don't know. I think if you you wield a 50 cal at in a liquor store, it probably ought to get a free bottle of liquor. Good on you, brother.
But they're also, by the way, they're barring all assault weapons. We're banning them, AKs, ARs, and 50 cals. Who threw that? Some knucklehead legislator goes, I heard the 50 cals are really, really dangerous. Let's ban that one, too. When's the last time you saw one? Anyway, also, you can't have a magazine that fires more than 10 rounds for a rifle. 10 rounds. 10-round mag. Okay.
You can't have a car that goes more than 25 miles per hour.
In Alabama, for your own good. By the way, in Alabama, we are an open carry state. No permit required. And in California, they just banned concealed carry in multiple locations around the state. If you own the store, you can carry. Otherwise, churches, playgrounds, parks, public transportation, museums. You get on the bus. What's a dangerous place in California? Public transportation. How about this one? In Washington State, again, they expanded the waiting period. You have to apply to buy a firearm and then wait 10 days. What?
Okay.
How about this one? In Minnesota, they got a red flag law that goes into place that if you are believed by others to be an imminent harm to yourself, you can be banned from buying a firearm. That can also include family members. Have you seen some of the families that come into the court system? I have. And I'm going to tell you right now, there would be fake red flags flying everywhere. This goes on and on and on, but I think you get the point. The bottom line is this. You've got a Second Amendment here in the United States that protects you, unlike anything you can imagine in other parts of the world. But even right here at home, they are desperate to take away your liberties, your rights, one of those being your right to bear arms. Live free or die, folks. We're going to take some text message after this break, and we come back. And then, by the way, we'll move to the next dipper, breaking things that work. I've had this sitting on the desk for 2 days. We're going to get on it. Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. We shall be right back. We are back to Williams Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got a bunch of text messages. I had a feeling, and I was correct, that the Second Amendment discussion would bring out some of my gun-toting ruffians. Andy from Arab, airborne to you, Andy. He says, I wonder if the gov lady has Marty Feldman eyes. What? What gov lady are we talking about? Oh, he's talking about the gun lady. That's what he's talking about, the one that is in charge of the, I guess, Marty Feldman eyes. Where did that come from? That's hilarious. Paul from Coleman says, mil-spec ammo is arguably less lethal. The Army can't use expanding rounds. Okay.
So I was thinking that. I didn't want to necessarily verbalize that, but because you do have the Geneva Convention compliance that we try to maintain.
That is a great point, Paul. Although, yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's still, but that's the thing, though, is liberals who don't understand guns then try to talk about guns like they understand guns. And that because it was military, it must be more lethal.
Which?
They don't understand the level of curtailing we have on the use of weapons.
Which is cool to see some of the those that dove into it and then became gun enthusiasts and defenders of the Second Amendment.
Nice. John from Harvest says, I remember how Trudeau up in Canada, how Trudeau treated the Canadian truckers. Yes. And how Australia was arresting people on the beaches during COVID lockdown. Yes. These are recent examples of why defending the Second Amendment is crucial, because it can happen here. Yes. And, oh, by the way, Australia went even further. Australia had like they had government run camps where you got sent off to quarantine.
And I, you know, earlier when you were talking about the kind of the lack of differences, most of my experience, I've worked a lot with the military forces from Canada, Australia, and I would want them to go into battle with.
They're good dudes.
They are incredible.
Yes.
And I no qualms. I have massive respect for those guys when you show up anywhere in the world. And it is kind of surprising to see, knowing those guys, that their countries are you know, going through some of this.
I mean, the Aussies and the Kiwis, the New Zealanders, there's like a devil may care kind of attitude, you know, and they're just, yeah. And by the way, their special operations, they're legit. But I do not understand their governance right now. Teresa from Town Creek. Well, Teresa, thank you very much. She sent me a link to something, asked me to listen to it offline. Said it goes with what I said in my monologue. I appreciate that. I'll have to check it out. Skip from Tony. Oh, Skip, you can't send me a book, brother. What am I going to do here? He sent me a very, very long quote, but he says it's timeless wisdom. I will have to take your word for it, man. I don't have a chance to read through the whole thing right now, but I'll take a look at it. Lewis from Trinity says, you're spot on. 90% of the military would said which side they'd fall on. One question for you. How fast do you think those federal border agents are trying to remove the razor wire? They've been asking for help. Now they got it. I don't think they are right now. In fact, it's been reported both yesterday and today that after the Fifth Circuit injunction was turned down by the Supremes, that Texas put up more razor wire. I mean, basically what they're saying is, you did. In fact, somebody pointed this out to me. Very clever, and the governor knows this. The Supreme Court did not say, don't put up wire. It just said, you can't get in the way of the Customs and Border Patrol from taking down your wire. Okay, we'll just keep putting it up and make them come take it down.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're effectively and efficiently coming to take it down.
No.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's also interesting because it's just, you're completely losing perspective as you make those decisions of the real men and women that are down there doing these things.
Yep, absolutely. Leanne from Huntsville says, crap, Butters is right, indoctrinated tattling. You're talking about when the kids,
for the storage and all that.
Yep, she's applauding your insights there. Raven from Russellville again says, all one has to do is see how most Alabamians feel about firearms ownership is to look at our state motto, we dare defend our rights. Nuff said. That is indeed our state motto, we dare defend our rights. Jerry from Athens, I'm afraid Joe McCarthy was right. He says our government seems to be following the Nazis and the communist playback, bait, blame, inflame, and incite. I guess this goes to my monologue. Clinton's administration started with this mess with Ruby Ridge and Waco. It's progressively grown worse. The gospel of Jesus Christ has repeatedly changed the world. Women's rights, the reduction of slavery, our Constitution, the Bill of Rights. But sadly, as a nation that forgot God has become the nation that hates God. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Stay, keep the faith there, Jerry, and I know you are. But I think there's, I'll be honest with you, I think there's revival coming. I just do. And then lastly, before the break, Brandy from Owens Crossroads says, with these state changes, while these state changes are a problem, the ATF keeps changing the background check questions without government oversight. They are a word salad that I feel is intended to confuse customers so they can't legally purchase a firearm. She says, shh, I won't tell you where she works. Brandy, thanks. And by the way, Brandy, I won't say it on the air, but let me know where you work. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We are taking a break and going to dipper number two, breaking things that work.